Welcome, friends and fellow wayfarers on this road called life, to the second episode of the Wayfarer Podcast, only our second step on this podcasting journey, and I have no idea where it's going to lead. You know, I started my blog, the Wayfarer blog, in March of 2006, so just coming up on our 13th year anniversary. No idea where it was going to go or if it was going to go, and here 13 years later, that journey led to blogging a chapter a day through the entire Bible, not just once, but twice, and still going. But as for the podcast, don't know in the grand scheme where this is going to lead, but I do know where we're going today. The episode today, just like Sesame Street, is brought to you by the letter C. So as I was working my outline, I noticed I had a lot of C words. So we've got Catholic mystic, creed, comma, Costner. Actually, I have two Costner references for the price of one. Crash, cutting the cord. Two C's there. That's where we're going today. And here we go. It's cold. There's another C word for you. Cold, wintry Iowa day. It's been a long winter here in Iowa, and everybody's ready for something to change. But do you know what happened last week? The boys of summer have reported to spring training, reminding us that summer and baseball is just around the corner. Which brings me to my first Costner reference, Field of Dreams, because I love in the Field of Dreams when James Earl Jones gets up and gives his baseball speech. If you've never heard it, you should Google it. It's classic. And James Earl Jones in that deep baritone voice, baseball, Ray. Baseball marks the time. And it does. When the boys of summer start playing baseball, you know that warmer weather is ahead. Yeah, Wendy and I love baseball. And I know some people are just like, man, baseball is so, the games are so long and it's so boring. Okay, well, two things. Anything is boring if you are unaware or don't understand what's going on. And, you know, one of the things that Wendy and I love about baseball is that the games can go 2 or 3 hours. And on a warm summer evening, we get to sit there. And even while we're aware of what's going on and we're paying attention to the game, because we do, it gives time for conversation. It gives time for us just to chat and relax, chill, and enjoy a couple of hours just quietly together. And just having a good talk while we're watching the game go on. More about that in a second. So a few weeks ago, I read Richard Rohr, Father Rohr's Daily Meditation. Now, if you don't know Richard Rohr's stuff, Father Rohr is a Catholic mystic. And Wendy and I were introduced to his stuff by our daughter Taylor, and I started reading his daily meditations. And here's the thing. I love Father Rohr. I read one of his books, The Divine Dance, which is awesome. And there are times, there are mornings when I read Father Rohr's meditation and I'm like, yes, he just verbalized what I've been thinking but couldn't say for so long. And some mornings I am so inspired by his thinking and what he's saying. And then there are other mornings that I go, dude, you are whacked. And I totally don't know what to do with where you just went with that. Now, the thing about that is, I'm okay with that. See, if you've read my blog for any period of time, you know that Wendy and I are big into embracing this, it's a theater term called yes and, or you can call it both and, where you just kind of choose and go with things. And as my spiritual journey has gone on, I am more and more open to just embracing the both and, instead of the other opposite is the either or. That's a binary option. It's either this or that. And one of the things that I recognize about my spiritual upbringing is that I came up in a tradition that was very binary. It was very either or. Everything was black and white. And in fact, I had a teacher in college, Dr. Kober, who taught hermeneutics. If you don't know what hermeneutics is, it's basically a big word that means how we interpret the Bible. And so Dr. Kober in his class was maybe the most binary person that I've ever met. And Dr. Kober, basically, if you agreed with him, you were okay. Anyone who did not agree 100% with Dr. Kober was a heretic, or at least that's the way it was perceived as one of his students. And so it was always this, either you're acceptable or you're not. And one of the things that I recognized is Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, look, when I leave, I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day I'll come back to life, then he's going to go to heaven. And he says, when I leave, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I recognized as I've gotten further and further in my spiritual journey that I am more and more willing to trust Holy Spirit to guide me into truth. But the tradition in which I was raised didn't trust Holy Spirit to guide you anyone into truth, and they didn't really trust you to being guided by Holy Spirit. So it was always, we're going to give you this teacher, this pastor, this theologian, this, writer of the moment, and he, because it was usually almost always a he, is going to guide you into all truth. So if you don't agree with them, then you're not in the truth and you're a heretic. But I just discovered that that's really not what Jesus said. Jesus said, Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. So when I read something from Father Rohr that I'm like going, man, I don't get where you're coming from, then it's okay. I can leave it right there and recognize that just like a newbie walking into a baseball park that may not be completely aware of what's going on. And Father Rohr may have come to his understanding from a completely different place and be aware of things that I don't understand. And I'm okay with that. I'm just going to continue to trust Holy Spirit to guide into the big questions. And I'm no longer afraid of big questions. And I'm no longer afraid of mystery. In fact, I love it. Isn't that what? So think about it, even baseball. Why do we love the movie Field of Dreams? It's a journey, isn't it? And it's mysterious. Why are these baseball players coming out of the corn? And what is the deal with this farmer who plows over his field to create a baseball field in Iowa? And the big questions and the big mystery inspire us to keep moving in the journey. We want to know what's going on. Now, would you rather have that, or would you rather watch a movie of somebody reading the Major League Baseball rules? Of course. We're inspired by mystery. I ran into my pastor at a restaurant one day at lunch, and I asked him, so how are you doing? What's going on? And he said, you know, when I was a young man, I thought I had to have all the answers. And then as I got older, I thought I had to ask all the right questions. Now I'm an old man, and I'm just embracing the mystery. And I love that. I love it. So am I. Mystery is a good thing. And Father Rohr says that mystery is not something we can't understand. Mystery is something we endlessly understand. It's something that we can constantly peel back and see more and push into. It constantly challenges us further up and further in. It gives us opportunity to question and walk with and chew and ponder and always be finding something new. And I'm good with that. that inspires me. So now back to Father Rohr's meditation and that hit me so hard a couple weeks ago. He was talking about creeds, and in particular, the Apostles' Creed. Now, if you were raised either Catholic or in one of the mainline Protestant denominations, you probably recited the Apostles' Creed. It's a very old statement, and that's what a creed is, a statement of what you believe. And so the Apostles' Creed goes, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, our Lord and Savior. And usually when it's done, you stand up in church and everybody kind of mumbles it together. And in many churches, that's done like every week. And you kind of mumble through this statement of kind of the core things that we believe. But Father Rohr was pointing out that in the Apostles' Creed, it says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, our Lord and Savior, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, comma, born of the Virgin Mary, comma, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Time out. Wait a minute. Didn't something happen between birth and him being tried by Pilate and executed? Yeah, I think so. The things that most inspire me about Jesus, the things that I love about being a follower of Jesus, really are contained in the great comma. That's what Father Rohr called the great comma. Yeah, in the between birth and his death. So that got me thinking about, well, what is it that I love and appreciate? What is it inside the great comma that inspires me? So I thought about that a little bit. So what inspires me? I love that Jesus rescued a woman. And in Jesus' day, women didn't have a very high status at all. But this woman who is caught in the act of adultery, and you kind of have to let that sink in for a moment. She was caught in the middle of having sex with someone who was not her husband. She is drug before Jesus, and she is about to be stoned. She's about to be killed and executed for her moral failure. And Jesus rescues her. Yeah, that inspires me. Another story about Jesus with a woman. See, in Jesus' day, a good Jewish man, which Jesus was, would not speak to women publicly. And you definitely would not speak publicly to a woman who was not also a good Jew. Anyone that was not a Jew was specifically forbidden. So Jesus is at a well, and this Samaritan woman, who's a non-Jew, kind of a half-breed Jew, comes to draw water. And what does he do? He strikes up a conversation with her. Yeah. And so much so that when his followers came and found him, he raised a lot of eyebrows by breaking all of the social and religious taboos. Yeah, that inspires me. I love that Jesus, when he got angry, who did he get angry at? He got angry at the religious, rule-keeping, legalistic leaders who were condemning the woman caught in adultery, and all of those who didn't fit their religious rule-keeping. It was the religious leaders that Jesus got angry with and called them out for their hypocrisy. They were the ones that he condemned, not the woman caught in adultery or the thief that was executed on the cross next to him. That inspires me. And I love that Jesus linked everyday things and actions to the spiritual truth that he was trying to get at. He loved word pictures. He always spoke in metaphor. And John, in particular, does this. So Jesus would do something, or there would be something that would prompt him to make a spiritual link to it. For example, he heals a man who has been blind since birth, restores his sight, and then he says, "I am the light of the world." In other words, he opens the darkness of this man's blindness and then uses that as the springboard to talk about a spiritual truth of our eyes being opened and illuminated to the light that he wanted to bring and that he was in and of himself. Another one, Jesus, crowd of people all around him, everyone's hungry. He takes a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, and he literally feeds thousands, 5,000 people with fish sandwiches. The food just kept multiplying until everyone was fed and there was a bunch left over. But that's not the point. So he gets in, while everyone's sleeping that night, he gets in the boat and he goes to the other side of the lake. And when everybody wakes up the next morning, they say, "Hey, well, what happened? Let's go find Jesus." They come around and Jesus says to them, "Look, I am the bread of life. I am. And you're following me because you got your stomachs filled, because I gave you Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for lunch. But if you really want to live, then you need to eat my flesh and you need to drink my blood." Whoa, excuse me, time out. Yeah. So he took a physical miracle, but that wasn't the point. The point was further up and further in. It was deeper into what he was trying to do on a cosmic level. The bread that he was trying to give to feed us at the deepest part of our soul. And that inspires me. So yeah. So we've got this mystery, this inspiration, this stuff that feeds what it is that we really believe and why I really am a follower of Jesus. And then it reminded me of the second Kevin Costner reference, his movie Bull Durham, and Kevin Costner plays Crash Davis, a minor league ball player. And there's this great scene where he is talking to his love interest, Susan Sarandon, and she says, "Well, what is it that you believe in?" And so he spouts off what he believes in, and it goes, I'm going to edit it slightly because this is a G-rated podcast, but he says, "I believe in the soul, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. Amen. I believe in the sweet spot, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve. I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days." And then he walks out the door and Susan Sarandon goes, "Oh my." Exactly. So back in 2006, when I began blogging, there were a bunch of bloggers that, as a sort of blogging challenge, were asking, come up with your own Crash Davis creed, your own Crash Davis belief statement. What is it that you believe? So I did. And in fact, if you go to my blog, tomvanderwill.com, the Wayfarer blog, and go to my about page, I basically just pasted my Crash Davis belief statement, my Crash Davis creed, right there on the about page. Let me read it to you. "I believe that the universe is a work of God's artistry, embellished by Van Gogh's brush, Miles Davis trumpet, Bob Dylan's lyrics, Bach's Brandenburg concertos, Tolkien's imagination, and Michael Jordan's jump shot. I believe in hot coffee, Gregorian chants, and quiet conversations with God before dawn. I believe in baseball parks on warm summer evenings. I believe in good food, good wine, good company, and dinner conversations that keep you at the table for hours. I believe in guitars, cigars, back porch music under the stars. I believe that life is a journey with an eternal destination and in having good companions for the sojourn. I believe that the Cubs will one day win the World Series." Yes, they did it. "And that the Vikings will one day be Super Bowl champs." I'm still waiting on that one. I believe grace is costly and salvation is free. I believe in the blues. I believe in second chances, my wife's love, and the reality that my children and now my grandchildren are my life's masterpiece. Yeah, that's what inspires me. Now, what is it about that? Here's the thing. When you know what you believe, not just the cut and dried doctrinal, theological things, but the stuff of life that you build on top of that, it begins to inform your thoughts and your words and your decisions, which is where we get to cutting the cord. So for many, many years now, Wendy and I have had satellite television. Hundreds and hundreds of channels, music and television, and it keeps getting more and more expensive all the time, and it just is unbelievable the amount of money we spend on our satellite television. But as Wendy and I have talked about over the last year or so, whether we should keep it or we should do something else, one of the things that I've thought about is when you listened to my Crash Davis creed, what did you hear? I believe in coffee and quiet conversations. I believe in ballparks and summer evenings. Why? Because it affords a chance for Wendy and I to enjoy the game, but also have conversation. I believe in good food, good wine, dinner conversations that keep you at the table for hours. Are you seeing the link here? Guitar, cigars, back porch music under the stars. What? With your friends, where you're having conversation and a cold one and enjoying company. Well, if you're sitting in front of the television, those things don't happen. Now, I'm not saying that we did all the time, but and maybe it's our Dutch heritage, but one of the things that we recognized in our conversation about it is that when you spend a ton of money on satellite television, you sort of feel like, well, I better get my, you know, money's worth out of it. And so there's almost this kind of guilt. If I'm not watching it, why am I spending the money? So you watch it just to kind of appease the guilt. But in watching it, you're not doing the things that I say in my belief statement are really important to me. And so we made the decision to cut the cord. And we got rid of it a couple weeks ago. And we feel so good about it. And we're already noticing the change in our home and in our conversations. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed, I told Wendy I was going to tell you this. I noticed that all of a sudden I'm just realizing when there's music playing all day in the house. And Wendy said to me, oh yeah, I've been playing music all day for over a year and you just haven't noticed it. Sorry about that. I'm just noticing it now, but maybe it's because she's playing music downstairs and I'm upstairs in my office with what? The television on, watching MLB Network or Antiques Roadshow or the tennis match or whatever else that's on. And so I didn't notice the music. So now what we're finding in these first few weeks is that we still have access to watch things we want to watch, but it's a conscious choice to do so. And we don't just have the television on to have it on. And it's not just going on in the background all the time. And that's a good feeling. And we're feeling like all of a sudden our lives have just come into better alignment with what it is that we really believe and we really want out of this life journey. And that's a good feeling. Yeah, it's a really good feeling. So what is it that you believe, my friends? How does my life reflect it or not? You know, those are good things to think about when you're hunkered down on a cold Iowa night with a winter storm warning in effect, which we've had a lot of recently. Good things to ponder so that Wendy and I can talk about them at a baseball game. Because the boys of summer are warming up, and so will the weather. And until then, may the road rise up to greet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Have a great week, my friend.